The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Melissa Magsaysay.
And I'm Nikkei Grieco. And together we host The Beauty Vanguard, the podcast that goes beyond skin deep to explore all the ways beauty brings us together. We are beauty entrepreneurs and experts who love all things beauty.
On this podcast, we chat with beauty founders, celebrities, and experts about their beauty journeys and current product obsessions.
And we've got a lot of great advice for budding beauty entrepreneurs.
That's right. Let's get to it.
So, Steph Shep, we know your tech journey. We know your iCloud journey.
Yeah. I have mad respect for your organizational skills.
Tell us about your beauty journey, because I am like zeroed in on your skin thinking, what is it she does? Is this just genetics and whatever? How can I hop on this regimen? Yes.
Tell us about it. It's so funny because I was like, is this going to be on camera today? And Annalise was like, yeah. And I was like, shit. And I like tried to throw on makeup really quick.
But tell us about your beauty journey. Okay. Sorry, not your regimen per se, but yes, I do need those details.
Like, how did you find beauty?
Yeah, like growing up, what led you to beauty and when did you first remember?
So I've told the story briefly one time before, but it really was kind of like the catalyst for me to learn about, you know, just like makeup and beauty, that whole world in general. So I grew up in a small town in Ohio, and it was like the cool thing was to get to go to like a JCPenney's and get your makeup done at the makeup counter. And that was a real treat. And you know, when you would walk through and as a young girl, you're like, oh my gosh, like all this makeup, it's like so womanly and like adult and whatever. And so it was a real treat for my friends and I to go get our makeup done there. And I have my childhood best friend who is like my sister, and she's blonde and blue eyed. And, you know, I was the only Asian kid in my town for miles.
Wow.
You know? And my mom took the two of us to JCPenney to get our makeup done. And it was like, had to be obviously in the 90s. Yeah, I guess I grew up in the 90s. And I just remember sitting there and they're doing my, you know, my friend's makeup. And I'm like so excited. And I, at the end, I looked at her and I was like, God, you look beautiful. Like, whoa, like your makeup. And then I remember looking at my makeup and I was just like, wait. This isn't, why is my skin this color? What it was that kind of the era of where the eyeshadow, remember when it was like the diagram where you put the highlighter
the three
and then you put
quad,
the three thing and then you put the shadow right in the hollow of the eye.
Yeah.
I don't have a hollow of the eye. I have Asian eyes and they didn't know how to do my makeup.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember feeling so confused as to why she looked like a literal, I thought she looked like a supermodel. I was like, whoa,
angel.
You look, you know, like they
this
just
so
got
crazy.
It. And I just, they, you know, the shape of my eye, the liner, the way you have to do it is different. And they just didn't know how to do my makeup. And obviously, I didn't have the, you know, wherewithal to understand what that, why that was as a young kid. But I just remembered feeling like, oh, is this like a, it's another different, like I'm an other again, you know, that internalizing that feeling without knowing how to identify it.
Totally.
And rather than, you know, kind of deter me from wanting to be a part of like the makeup and the beauty, because I really loved it, it kind of pushed me to learn how to do my own makeup.
Right.
Because I was like, no one here can do my makeup. So I'm going to have to figure out how to do this myself.
Same.
None of these women on the beauty ads, you know, on the counters, you know, they don't look like me. So I'm going to have to figure this out myself.
I always felt like, I'm so sorry, Kay, just on the, how you're, what you're saying, how you felt. I always felt, being an Asian person, woman, that people did my makeup how they thought Asian people were supposed to look. So the way they did the eyes, it was super like, kind of like almost stereotypical, like dragon lady, like very sultry and sexy and like not just, it was like playing into a lot of like tropes about Asian women. And I always, I would like go and take off like half of it.
I can't even count the amount of times,
even
professional makeup artists, because I've gotten old, that I wait for them to leave and then I go wash my face.
Every time.
I'm like, I'm orange or I'm yellow or I'm like, it's
like grayish or
like purpley, ashy, you know, but same. I had to the point where I didn't even really wear much makeup growing up because I knew how to do certain things like my brows.
Yeah.
Put on eyeliner, mascara, but I didn't mess around at all with like
complexion foundation. Because normally I couldn't even find it.
It wasn't available.
Right.
100%.
Right, right.
It's such a weird thing to look back when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And like to see what was the options that were available to us. Because even matching like my skin tone, you know, the range was so much so much smaller.
Right.
And it was just kind of like there was this one way to do makeup and it was for
it
a specific person's face and it wasn't mine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that was literally it.
And we were just like, okay,
we're
great.
Like, all right, well, that's how it is. Because that's the beauty standard. And this is just what I'm going to have to live
right.
with.
And then in turn, you feel like, again, those like microaggression of like, totally. I don't belong in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I kind of just took it upon myself to learn how to do my own face and to like really get to know how, like what looked good on me. Mm-hmm. And I had a dance background. So I was kind of, you know, doing recitals and stuff. So we had to learn how to do like the stage makeup. Right. And I really like loved doing that. That was one of my favorite things growing up to get to do my makeup. And I was pretty good at it and I knew how to do it myself. And then I just kept practicing and I really loved it. And I would do my friends' makeup for proms. And then when they were getting married later on in life, like I've always had a real love because I've had to learn myself,
right?
You know, how to do everything.
That's amazing. Me and that caboodle, I'm sure you had that caboodle. We all had the caboodles. Oh, yeah.
I loved
just sitting down in front of
chills
it,
thinking of
popping up the mirror
yeah.
and just like start the process.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, it's actually really empowering. But I love that part of the impetus was you probably would have gotten interested in makeup anyway because of your dance background and just being interested in it. But I love that the impetus was also that you're like, someone didn't do your makeup where you felt seen and celebrated. And so you felt empowered to really do it yourself rather than be like, yeah, maybe makeup's not for me.
Yeah.
Or beauty's not for me.
Because I wanted to be a part of it. You know what I mean? It's always been a big part of culture and community. And I wanted that, you know, and I didn't see myself there. So you just kind of had to, you know, you just kind of shuffle along and just, you want to be, you're on the outskirts of it, but you want to be a part of it, but you're not. And
And the irony of, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s too. And it was, you know, it was also a time of like blue mascara and
things
that absolutely didn't work on my skin. I tried. I was like, I'm going to wear blue mascara too. And I remember my mom like coming around the corner and she was like, What did you do to your eyes, girl? Yeah. but it is also, you know, the irony of the fact that like two Asian women, an African woman, that most beauty rituals and ingredients come from the parts of the world where we're from, right? Mm-hmm. But then the industry and in the country that we grow up in,
it's not for us.
It's not for us. Yeah. It really makes zero sense, right?
Yeah.
The standards are super westernized.
Yeah, definitely.
But taking from cultures that,
of course,
were ingredients and rituals and things are rooted.
We're really getting down to many things outside
of beauty, but beauty is just another place. And like, I like that you share the story about going to JCPenney because it's like one, you know, people talk about, especially with Asian people and Asian communities, we talk about microaggressions and that the way in which we experience racism is comparatively subtle, you know?
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to explain, not that we have to explain, but when we want to and feel like we should share our stories with friends, communities, platforms, whatever, sometimes it's hard to be able to articulate what a microaggression is because it can come in so many forms at varying levels of intensity or subtlety. Mm-hmm. And so the story that you share about makeup And especially at that age when we're so, it takes so like vulnerable. Nothing to make us feel othered. And the last thing you want to feel is not like your best friend who has blue eyes and blonde hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that sits with you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I still viscerally remember that experience,
that
you know.
Yeah.
And
it's
I was so young.
Too. And, you know, obviously at 13, then we're partnered with JCPenney. And I tell the story of going to JC. I grew up in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But that was the only place that my mom could get her shade of makeup. The only department store that had a fashion fair counter that sold makeup that she could wear. Wow. So, you know, ironically, you know, you could think, okay, JCPenney, America's oldest retailer, you know, that was someone who wasn't educated in understanding all skin tones and all face shapes, et cetera, that probably shouldn't have been doing makeup. But then I think about now, like microaggressions, like I will walk into department stores. Maybe I'm just like in my sweats, running through Beverly Hills. And the microaggressions I'll feel just walking around, being in the beauty industry, being a retailer myself, not feeling like I belong.
Yeah.
Right. Even present day.
Yeah.
So it is something, especially, you know, beauty is universal. It's a way to bring people together. Mm-hmm. It's a way to celebrate, you know, culture and heritage and where we all came from. But, you know, there is this sort of disconnect, I think, with the industry. And, you know, we are so proud that you are one of our original beauty vanguards at 13 Loon. And where do you find that the beauty industry could do better at being more inclusive?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think over the last couple of years, you know, I know you know this. I definitely do feel like it's just expanded. Like overnight, I was like, if I were growing up, that little girl would be so thrilled to see what this beauty industry has turned into. And I think with social media and everything and small businesses, it's given people who wouldn't necessarily have a foot in the door a chance to create something for a smaller community or a niche community or someone that hasn't, you know, been serviced in the beauty industry. God, that's a really good question. I really do feel like there is a little bit of something for everyone at this point, and it just keeps growing and expanding. And just like life and evolution itself, there's always places where we can improve and where we can go bigger and further. I would probably say for me, the first thing that would come to mind is more in like the sustainability space. You know, I think there's a lot that still needs to be done. I think as far as like packaging and excessive waste, that's kind of the first thing that comes to mind. Because I think at this, like for me as a consumer, I feel like I could find any product under the sun that I would want right now. But just being a little bit more sustainably minded and having that kind of ethos within the brand. I know the smaller brands have a better understanding, and I know the consumer's demanding that. So you see smaller brands like a Summer Fridays or something like that that starts from their foundation with, you know, clean ingredients and a sustainability program and that at its core. And I think now it's kind of, I'm looking to like the legacy brands.
That's what I say,
to change internally because we want to make it easier for the consumer. We don't want to have to, you know, research where I can, or is this chemical? Is this okay? Are these ingredients okay? Where do I even find this product? Maybe it's not accessible to me where I live or at the price point that I'm, you know, shopping at. And so with these legacy brands that are in every store, every Target, every Walmart, you know, and shelves across America, it's, for me, it's them internally changing and making it easier for the products that we know and love and that we've grown up with to be safer and more sustainable.
Because that's where we'll see more of the needle moving, right? When you have Estee Lauder, you know, Clinique, like companies that are really ubiquitous and exactly legacy brands. Once they, you know, Youth to the People, Summer Fridays, like, you know, these different brands can be coming out very relatively recently, right?
This
is in the last 10 years. So they're going to be more forward thinking and mindful about climate action and waste. But they're like, even though they're amazing brands, they're great, successful, growing rapidly brands. They're tiny compared to, you know,
the shelf space,
the legacy brands we're talking about and all the places that these brands are available. So until those brands change, we're not, I don't, you know, it's going to be hard to see the needle move enough
in just the mass consumer.
But it seems like the consumer is demanding it.
And I think those smaller brands are pushing like the P&Gs of the world to change. I've been recently working with Garnier and truly have been so impressed with their sustainability initiatives. And they're a legacy brand. Like we've grown up with Garnier. They created the hair color. You remember the commercial? I was like, oh, I'm going red. Like, Garnier. Why am I going red?
Garnier. Fruitis. I can smell it. I can literally smell
100% Garnier. And it's like they're on shelves. You could find them everywhere and anywhere.
Right. That's a massive
And I have been doing, you know, sustainability panels with them, and I've gotten to know what they're up to. And it is really impressive. And I'm like, that's great, because that's what we need. We need the products we know and love to be accessible and available.
Right.
But you need to make them better for us and better for the planet.
Because it's going to be the minority of people that are really like doing, making lists and doing the research.
Well, because I think they said there's like something of like 93 96% of people know that they should be doing something. And yes, we want to make change, sustainability, we know. And maybe 4%, 3% take action.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we know it to be true, but to change our habits and to do that extra step, it's just like, it's just not happening.
Right. And the brands need to make it easier for people to
really
do
meet
that.
People where they are. Well, taking it back a little bit, besides the very obvious, all the things going on around us and all the headlines, what inspired your work as a climate activist and your work around your really amazing work around sustainability?
Thank you. Well, I mean, I always just say, like, I'm just a concerned consumer, just like the rest of us. I'm not necessarily like the most perfect. I'm definitely not an activist in any sense of the word. Like, I just advocate for the people and the experts and the scientists and the grassroots activists who are actually doing the work. Mm-hmm. And I initially just wanted to learn. I was like, I watched Vice President Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. I watched it as a kid, and then I watched it as an adult, or as a teen, and then I watched it as an adult. And it just hit differently. Like, I was just in a place in my life where I was like, okay, yes, the entertainment business is awesome. I love working in it. But like, I'm not feeling super fulfilled. I want to do something that has a little bit more depth and like that gives back. Mm-hmm. And I watched it and it just hit me. Mm-hmm. And I just realized the urgency in a different way that I hadn't understood before. Mm-hmm. And serendipitously, he was hosting a climate reality training weekend. So it's like he does these all over the globe and you can go. It's free for 3 days. And you hear speakers, you hear his presentation, you hear experts, you hear politicians, you know, scientists in the space talking about the climate crisis and its solutions. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be in LA. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. It was the first thing I did on my own. And I was like, I'm going to bring my little notebook and here I go. And it was so amazing. And I left feeling so inspired. And I was like, I got to tell people about it. Like, why are we talking about this? Like, what's going on? And so I was like, I just want to kind of share this information with my friends because we kind of need to get at this, you know? And so that's kind of how Future Earth came to be, was me just wanting to like find a way to share this information with like my peers that are scrolling Instagram.
So well, it does that so well.
It
Thank you.
And I love it. I mean, it gives me chills because it's so amazing. You know, so many people are so fortunate to build, you know, a community of followers for various reasons. But to then take your platform and use it in purpose, right? I think is the secret sauce. Mm-hmm. Right? I always say, like, passion, when you align your passion and your purpose, it's the secret sauce. And to me, I find that so inspirational for any of our listeners, whether you have 5 followers, 1,000 followers, you know, it's so important to make sure that when you've, you know, worked hard, garnered trust from your followers or your community, to then find something, something that can move the needle to make the world
and
a
the
better
way,
place.
And the way you're sharing the story about being a concerned citizen, you went to an event that, you know, you were just curious about and you went like anybody else and just sat in the chair and took notes because you were curious. I think especially when it comes to climate change and sustainability, it's such a enormous, daunting topic, and it feels insurmountable, but also I feel this way too, so I'm sure a lot of other people feel this way, is like, well, what can I really do? Where do I even start, even like to learn? Right, so the fact that you really just started by starting and going to
I mean, it was literally just like the seed of an idea.
Right.
And I was like, I just want to share this with my friends. Like, if anybody follows this, I don't know, but I'm going to make my friends follow this.
Yeah.
So that they have a place to start. Like, that's what we say at Future Earth. Like, where, what is the entry point? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just follow. Just, you know, voyeur. Scroll.
Yeah.
Right.
See, just get take a little information in.
The information is so digestible. Mm-hmm. And I know the point of Future Earth, or the way you're meaning to communicate. But on the Instagram, and if you all don't follow Future Earth on Instagram, you should. I find it so, I felt my shoulders literally drop as I was like scrolling. Because I'm like, oh my God, I feel in the 15 minutes I've been scrolling, I feel more educated already, or it doesn't feel as daunting.
Yeah.
Or there feels like an entry point where I can become activated in this space.
Yeah.
You know, I recycle. Yeah. I have like great brands. I'm conscious of that my shampoos and conditioners and this and that mm-hmm. are biodegradable and they don't hurt oceans. You know, we have all these things that have become ingrained in our lifestyle and, you know, we're not all perfect, but it's like, how do we introduce more things, continue to evolve in that direction?
Well, and I think too, sometimes we know to do those things and we're like, why?
Right.
Like, sure. Like, yes, I know this is right. But so then when you have a little bit more understanding of like, actually, you know, what's happening as it relates to like the environment and the science, and it kind of gives you like a deeper mm-hmm. rooted understanding of why I do need to do this or why I am going to skip out on this. And for me, I never even saw myself as like an environmentalist. I'm like, oh, no, those people are like zero waste. They're living off the land. Like, I can't be that. There's just no way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think we really wanted to create a space where it's like, we're all environmentalists. We all have mm-hmm. on the spectrum of what that looks like. And it really takes every single different person with their unique skill set and their, you know, whatever that is to contribute.
Totally.
However they can.
Totally.
And like, we're very much a place of like a non-shaming, like we're not perfect. I never preach to be perfect.
Right.
I still, you know, half of us still get in our gas guzzling car with our reusable water bottle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's contradicting.
Right.
It is what it is. You know what I mean? We're in this transition phase, mm-hmm. but we really believe that education can be a catalyst for change.
Absolutely.
You know, so the more you know, then you can make better choices in your home. Then you can influence your community, whether it's just your family, whether mm-hmm. it's one friend or a coworker. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it takes.
Right.
Are it's there so any companies, brands, they can be beauty or otherwise, I know you said Summer Fridays, but any companies across any category that you feel are doing a really good job at kind of meeting people where they are? Like, yes, there may be have great sustainable practices, mm-hmm. but also in their communication and marketing, like they're really getting to people.
I mean,
to
I think accessible. Summer Fridays is a great job. I mm-hmm. love that they can recycle. I think as it relates to just, you know, even ingredients and transparency, I think Biossance does a great job. Mm-hmm. They're really keen on, you know, really using clean ingredients, which is also a part of sustainability. Mm-hmm. Sourcing is a part of mm-hmm. sustainability.
Totally.
Like I said, Garnier is surprisingly really pushing and leading that charge.
I love that.
It's really cool, really unexpected mm-hmm. and cool. I was like, no. Right. And they were, and then I saw the guy giving all the, you know, Adrian Costas, he was saying all the things and I was like, oh my God, like that's really incredible.
Yeah.
Gosh, who else is there? I love the Package Free Shop. I don't know if
is it called
you guys,
Re?
Well, Re is like the grocer, I mm-hmm. think, in LA. The package-free shop is where, you know, obviously when it comes to sustainability, you don't have, the whole point is not having to buy something to be sustainable. The most sustainable thing is to reuse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but if you do need to buy something, I love shopping at the package-free shop.
It's called the package-free shop.
The package-free shop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it has every, if you want to switch out your plastic wrap, they've got a solve for that. Your straws, if you're a straw drinker and you can't give up your beloved straw, they have something for that.
Right.
Your water bottle, your laundry, dryer balls, you know, anything, beauty, sex toys, anything that you can think of.
Wait, where is the package free
shop? It's online.
Oh, I was going to say, is it
online?
That's the part that I find hard about Re, which I love. And it's actually very close to my house or I mean, the one in Studio City is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can just drop down there, but I just never remember because I physically have to go. Yeah. So, which is it's fine. Yeah. Actually, it's really nice to explore and see everything mm-hmm. they have. Yeah. But this is great. The package free shop is online.
It's a great,
oh my gosh, I can't wait.
You just scroll and scroll and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a great alternative. Or I never thought that I needed a sustainable floss or something. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Just things that you wouldn't think of.
Mm.
I feel like they have everything. And yeah, even like, going to like a farmer's market.
Yeah,
like
farmer's market
just
is the best.
Switching.
Yeah.
And just really carving the time out. And you know, honestly, mm-hmm. I love going to the farmer's market.
Yeah, my husband goes with the kids every
I
Sunday.
I really enjoy
farmer's
it.
Farmer's market dad.
Farmer's market dad. He
He's
has
got
his
an
own
Instagram handle.
Farmer's market dad.
How much he
loves the farmer's market. Okay. Yes. Shout out to farmer's
Shout
market
out to
dad.
Farmer's market.
That's amazing.
And our kids, he's been doing it since they were tiny, but you know, they know all the farmers.
Yes.
They go in, they know exactly what, you know, to get. We also, you know, he really, during especially 2020, really amped up our garden. So we grow
Amazing.
All our produce or we get it at the farmer's market. But it is, it's just, it's like if everybody could just do, start with one thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
How are you going to change it up? If everybody on the planet did that.
Yeah.
I would love to see the results.
If everyone on the planet just like cut their shower by like 1 minute.
Yeah.
Like if you're sitting here being like, yeah, like, well, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do after I listen to this podcast? just cut your shower time down.
Mm-hmm. 1 minute.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is making a difference. Those little things. Turn the water off when you're brushing your teeth.
Right.
It doesn't need to be on.
Right.
It bothers me so much.
That is my biggest pet peeve. I'm like, turn the fucking water off. Just turn it off. Yeah. California's in a perpetual drought forever.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Even though it just rained for 5 days.
Right. Still.
The water just went into the ocean and left.
See ya. Like, so it's like the smallest difference of. They have these really cool hourglass that you can stick in your shower that tells you.
Oh, that's perfect.
And shower it helps time. You give a like, shorter shower time. And that truly, truly, like you might think that that doesn't make a difference, but it absolutely does.
It really My
does.
Parents, because I grew up in Northern California, and I don't know if this was like a mandate because we didn't get it in LA, I don't think, or I didn't hear about it. But like they were telling people like when you take a shower, and my mom did, I think both my parents did, keep a bucket. So all the water that's not, after it comes on you, it goes in the bucket and then they use that to water the rose bushes.
Oh, wow.
Or so like,
oh, that's a really good idea.
I was like, look at you guys. I'm like, Mom, why is there a bucket in your shower? She's like, we're recycling water.
Like, I'm doing my part.
I know. I was like, careful lifting that heavy bucket, but thank you.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
I feel like I want to do that.
Yeah.
That bucket would sit in my shower forever though.
I know. Like, I was like, what? How heavy is the bucket?
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Tell my husband.
But I mean, I actually love that idea.
But it's a great idea.
There's so many little things that we just don't think about. You know what I mean? That we've just become so accustomed to like a Postmates delivery next day, you know, lifestyle that we want it now and then we want to get rid of it. Yeah. And I just think it's like coming back to more of a holistic, like community-based lifestyle, like which is why I love the farmer's market, because some kids don't think that apples come from a farm. They come from a bodega.
Right.
Like they don't even know. And I just think that we have to like stop like living on the land and like live with the land.
I do notice, especially having, you know, one of my kids is a Gen Z teenager, that I love that her and her friends are so into thrifting.
I love
like,
that.
You know, that they, I mean, she rarely wants to like go to a store and buy clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she gets really excited by her finds.
That's
and then
awesome.
They share a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a lot of money. So, you know, I'll get this one and you get this one and then we'll switch it up this weekend. And I was, you know, I think it's pretty amazing.
We should all do that now.
Oh, 100%.
You guys are welcome to my
I'm like, anything you ever need,
I'll come
you
get
your jacket. I'll
like, because what, it's just going to sit in my closet like you wear it. Go for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I have found
it. I'm taking that as an open invitation, Steph.
100%.
I'll be at your house next week.
Anything you need. Anything you need.
Yeah.
I'd like to come over and recycle.
We can swap our bags. Since I really wanted your bag.
Yeah.
And I really like your bag.
We can share.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at us guys.
Sustainable.
Doing your part.
With our Bottega bags. I feel like we need to be a little more accessible than that. But we'll start
there.
Exactly.
We'll start there.
We'll start there.
Amazing.
But those are great resources.
Right.
Have you been to the ReStore?
I have. The one in Studio City.
Yeah.
Isn't there one on the east side too?
I think so.
Yeah.
They've got great snacks.
It's really cool.
Like great. Like you're not like set. You don't feel like you're settling. You're like, yes, I want. That is exactly what I already eat. And I want that. So it's a good option.
Right.
I just have to get it into my routine.
Where is it on Studio? Is it on Ventura, the Studio City?
It's on Ventura, like right off Laurel Canyon.
Yeah,
it's right over the hill. Almost on the corner.
I love how fancy Studio City is getting. It's got a ReStore. It's got that whole, you know,
Sportsman Lodge.
Oh, situation. Yeah,
the Air One right
pizza.
There.
Pizza.
What's that?
Isn't the Air One right there?
Yeah. It's like a really great Air One.
I know.
Is Air One sustainable? Do we feel like Air One stuff is sustainable? I don't know. I know you.
I mean,
not, you're not like a spokesperson for Air One.
Like,
you don't need to.
Well, I've been working for Air One for about 10 years now. I'm just
kidding. You're like, I've secretly been the president of that company.
It's just like they have all the things, you know, like definitely better options for everything.
The glow up of Air One.
It's crazy.
So I mean, insane.
It's like, so expensive.
I want to know
though,
who their CMO is or what was the process in taking Air One. When I moved to LA, it was like
the crunchy hippie granola store that when you were doing a cleanse, you went to.
Yeah. Or like I'd buy bread and like the bread would be
moldy,
part of me moldy
because
it's been sitting there forever. Or maybe it didn't have enough like the preservatives. I don't know. Yeah. But like
was definitely like if I had a cold, I went to Air One.
Yeah.
Now I see the chicest people walking around with Air One sweatshirts.
It's crazy.
Oh, it's a global merch phenomenon.
The merch is really wild.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive.
I need to know who's responsible for Air One's glow up because
I know.
Hire them for things.
Yeah.
Truly.
Air One's like PR.
Brand
we
PR.
Sure. We need to know Air One's PR.
They really have a good branding strategy.
No, it's true. It is all the hype. And it doesn't matter if I go in there and think, okay, I'm just going to grab a few. I never spend less than $100. I don't think you possibly can. Yeah.
There was a team out here from New York for this like beauty thing I was doing. And we were like meeting and a couple of the girls were eating like they had an Erewhon smoothie. It might have been Hailey Bieber's smoothie or someone. Yeah. You know, yeah. They do these co-branded smoothies.
Yeah.
And then there was some chicken fingers. Everything they had, because they're all from New York and they're like, we've been hearing about these Erewhon things. I don't know if they heard about it on TikTok.
Like, yeah, it's like viral smoothies. Yeah, viral chicken fingers.
Buffalo cauliflower.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And
I had no idea. I'm like, I'm not watching TikTok for Erewhon, I guess.
Like really good marketing. Like
that's really good marketing.
The grocery stores become a visitor's destination.
Yeah, but it's like the smoothie you have.
No, it is really like, where do I go in LA? Erewhon.
Yeah.
When I came here, I was like, wait, there's no Erewhon here?
You wait. Next time you're here, like, there's going to be an Erewhon.
Wait, I literally, as we were talking, I was like, is there an Erewhon?
No, there's not one here. I already asked.
We have to go home, guys.
I was like, where do I go?
Yeah. You can't stay in New York for longer than a week if you don't have Erewhon.
I don't like smoothies.
You don't like smoothies?
Period.
I know.
Is it that you don't like dairy? Or like?
Well, I don't like dairy. I don't do dairy for many reasons. I just don't like smoothies. I don't know. I'm so sorry. Is it the texture? I just don't like to drink my food. Like, I just like to eat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just want the mouth.
I just like, ugh, like they're tang. I think because maybe I'm not, oh, geez, I don't love fruit so much. Like, but eat fruit. I'm not trying to say don't eat fruit, but I just like, I'm a vegetable person.
Fruitarians are coming for you.
Yeah, I know. They're like, yeah.
So you like a green juice.
I like a green juice. I will juice. I like vegetables. I'm not like a fruit. Like, I will never choose a fruit. Like, I don't eat a lot of fruit.
Oh, my gosh. I love blueberries. God. You don't even like blueberries or pineapples?
Not really. Like, I'm always going to choose a carrot stick.
Oh,
is that weird?
Are you a savory person more than a sweet person in general?
I'm a savory more than sweet person, but I love blueberries.
Blueberries aren't that sweet, so maybe that's why. They're kind of herby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love blueberries, too.
I like pineapples, too.
I did hear, and I will say this all wrong, so any like dietitians and nutritionists
don't
out
come
there,
at her.
Don't come at me. Fruitarians, dietitians, nutritionists, just give us a little bit of grace on this. I think smoothies are not good actually for your digestive system because your digestive system should be working
to break down food.
So that's interesting. Food is the ingredients are already kind of broken down,
right?
And it's just. Not your digestive system's, I think, a little confused for lack of a better way to put it.
That seems true to me.
Yeah, so you're probably
you're pretty much on
to it. Yeah, I'm a nutritionist.
You're a nutritionist.
Now. Carrot sticks for all. So start chewing your food.
Chewing is the way to go.
Melissa said, "Don't drink smoothies."
You heard it here first. Steph Shep says smoothies are bad for you,
and Melissa says Erewhon's bread is moldy. We kind of said those things, but not totally.
Yes, we were getting.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, I love all your wellness nutrition. You still haven't told me what you use on your face. What's going on there?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I actually have been, so I swear by Laser Genesis. It's a laser.
Yes, I've used it.
It's changed my skin. Every time after I get it, everyone goes, oh my God, your skin. And I'm like, Laser Genesis.
Really?
I keep fucking telling you guys.
I've only done it once.
It has changed my skin. I have probably done it for almost 10 years now.
Wow.
And it has changed
my skin.
How
often do you do it?
I probably do it once a quarter, if not more, because sometimes like if like a fashion week or something, or if I've been traveling a lot and I feel like congested or like, you know, been wearing too much makeup, it just cleans your pores. It helps to shrink your pores. It helps to stimulate collagen. It helps to get rid of hyperpigmentation. Mm-hmm. There's no downtime. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt as far as lasers go.
It's a dream. It is. I go to Christy Kidd in Beverly Hills. Shout out to Christy Kidd. She's my girl and Jen in the office. Mm-hmm. They are incredible. I tell everyone to go there. It has changed all of my friends that I've sent there.
Mm-hmm. I'm literally
love it.
Even your friends with more melanin in their skin.
Yes. I was just going to say.
My man goes because he had hyperpigmentation up. Here.
Yeah.
I've used it.
Gone.
And I
pigment.
It's the only one that he can do because he is so sensitive. Like, I wanted him to do microneedling and it will destroy him.
Yeah.
He gets a mosquito bite and he scars.
That's me.
Same.
Like, I have hyperpigmentation head to toe.
Mm-hmm. And so this is the one that helps him. And it really has gotten away of the hyperpigmentation on his cheeks. And he goes up more than I do.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Sorry, babe. I love it.
I love to tell your secrets.
I love a man that lasers.
Yeah.
Once a quarter is not daunting. That feels really manageable.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Like an eyebrow situation.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like once a
quarter. It's worth it. It's really worth it. if you're going to, for me, if you're going to invest in some type of laser, that's the one that I swear by.
Okay.
And then Super Egg. So I have been using for the past couple of months, my skin's never looked better.
Egg, like an egg?
Yeah,
an egg.
Super Egg. And I use, it's like this spritz. So I'll wash my face with the skin cleanser.
Tapping this out.
Facial cleanser.
Okay.
Which I love. I'll use that.
Super Egg is the name of the brand.
Super Egg's the name of the brand. So I do the skin facial cleanser. Then I'll do the Super Egg spray.
Right.
And then I'll do the Super Egg. It's like it's a serum. Mm-hmm. The serum they have, it has, I don't know, it's just, it's great.
Yeah. Kim's cleanser is
Kim's
really good,
cleanser is so
really
good.
Really good.
It's so it's good. Really, and I'm good. So sensitive.
Me too. I mean, I will break out like a new dance and over anything.
100%. Like, it's really one of the best cleansers I've ever used.
Okay.
It's really I'm not good. Just saying that because she's my friend.
Yeah.
Like, it's the
really
one
good.
I use.
It's really good.
So that one, then the two Super Egg products, then I'll do the Augustinus Butter Rich Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid of the rich cream at first because I was like, ooh, I'm not a cream girl. I'm a serums girl. Like, it's too heavy for me. Absolutely not. It is the best primer under your makeup.
Mm.
Like, I like to look like a little more glowy. I like a little more skin to show through. And it, like, I'll mix it with either like a little bit of concealer if I just want light coverage.
Oh, right.
I'll use it all over right before I get my makeup done.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the foundation just seamless. Like, I'm telling you, it is the best primer. So I'll use that. And then if I'm not putting makeup on, I'll use the U Beauty Super Hydrator.
Yeah.
Love.
Like, over if you the Augustine
over, over. And I'll just do right here, like, because I'm mostly dry on my cheekies where I have rosacea.
Uh-huh.
And I'll put it around my eyes and down here.
Oh.
And it gives you that, like, dewy, shiny glow.
Ooh.
And you use the tiniest amount. And it's Divine Asian founded. We love her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is so good.
Yeah. Her products are amazing.
And that's literally it.
That's amazing.
And I really try and not wear makeup when I don't have to.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that has changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being comfortable, being like, this is what I look like. My eyelashes aren't curled. I don't have my eyebrows. Like, I don't, like, I think when I really started to feel comfortable with myself is when my skin changed. Because I wasn't trying to put on concealer at, you know, right the first thing in the morning before I go to the gym. And when I really was like, this is what I look like.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I don't need to have all the things done.
Yeah.
And I just let my skin
breathe. And you give your skin a break. Yeah.
And I just wasn't, you know, stressing and feeling insecure. I really do believe that energy, like, really shifted everything for me. And now I only wear makeup very minimally, you know?
Yeah.
And I almost wasn't going to come with any makeup on today because I was like, it's fine. But I was like,
you don't even need it. No.
I was like, let me put something on.
No, you look amazing.
No,
your eyebrows are next level. I love your eyebrows.
I know. I
keep seeing your eyebrows.
Oh, okay.
I know. Who does your brows? Are you going to give a shout out?
Lily. Lily Maldonado.
Oh.
She's the brow queen.
Yeah.
Love it.
She's so good. I do the lamination.
Oh, I did that once. It actually.
I like the lamination.
Yeah. I just am just trying to get them to grow.
Yeah.
Same here. I got micro. Christy Stryker did the micro feathering. And it definitely helps. Like, I use. And then the Amicole eyebrow pencil is great.
The best eyebrow pencil.
Yeah. It's good for filling in.
Yeah.
But, like, not too heavy.
It looks natural.
Though I think I went a little heavy today. But look.
Oh, my goodness.
These lights. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing all this.
I know. You really dropped some good nuggets.
Oh, my gosh. I hope so. You know, I'm like, is this... Is anything I have to say interesting ever?
Oh my
I don't
gosh,
know.
I love
Always.
It. No, this is one of my favorites.
No,
I'm
I
like
talk
the package-free shop.
Yeah.
Steph doesn't like smoothies.
Steph, you hate fruit.
Basically, the through line for this is fuck smoothies.
Fuck smoothies.
That's the title of this episode. Chew your food.
What is, like, your what's, if you could have, like, what, like, what's your absolute favorite food?
Pasta.
Oh, pasta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's,
pasta.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it something so crunchy?
What's
and
your
like...
favorite place to get pasta in New York?
Cipriani.
Yeah. I know. It's good old, like, old school.
And they have the best endive salad there. Oh, my gosh.
They do have the best.
They just have the best pasta. It's such a treat for me to get to come to New York and go to Cipriani. It's just like, oh, it's so good.
It's an oldie, but a goodie.
We also had really good pasta the other day at, what is it, San Ambrose?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I never think to order pasta
God,
there.
That pasta was so good.
Oh, really?
Really, really good. Yeah. And I went to this other restaurant called Bouvette.
Uh-huh.
And they had, like, this incredible scramble with smoked salmon on top and this incredible chicken salad. It was, like, divine. But also stop eating meat and stuff. So sorry. fuck my life. See, we're not perfect, guys.
We're not perfect.
Did you stop eating meat?
I'm
trying to.
I was a vegetarian for 10 years.
Okay.
And then I was a pescatarian. And then recently I just kind of started making homemade chicken broth, like, because I wanted, like, broth. I missed broth in my life.
It's good for you, know? Like collagen wise.
And so I started doing that. But I don't really, I don't eat red meat. I don't eat meat often. I really don't eat a lot of fish unless it's sushi because, like, obviously,
obviously.
I need it.
Yes.
I need my sushi heritage. In my life. Yes. It's just who I am.
Sushi's non-negotiable.
That's my go-to meal.
And I actually had a doctor, or no, it was my acupuncturist when I was going through, like, some fertility issues between my two kids that suggested that I would have just chicken broth. Like, just... Yeah. And, like, it warms the chi, and it's, like, something, like, the warm protein of something that comes from chicken broth. Yeah. It's, like, at that time, I mean, you know, not for people who are vegetarians or vegans, but is really nurturing and healing for our hormones.
Oh, wow.
So.
Basically, everything we said is gospel, so.
Everything
listen
we said
to
is
us
gospel.
About
chicken
everything.
Broth,
not smoothies.
All your health tips here at the Beauty Vanguard.
Chicken broth, not smoothies.
Yeah.
Buy your sustainable dental floss from the package free shop.
Literally.
Oh so many gems. Thank you so much.
Oh my
Thank you guys for having
this
me.
This is amazing. Thank you.
This was really
Thank
fun.
You.
I could talk
love
to you guys
it.
All day.
I love the LA girls in New York.
I
this
know.
Is fun.
Look at us being New York girlies.
I love it. Thanks for
Thanks
being
so
here.
Much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Beauty Vanguard. If you love diving deep into all things beauty with us, please follow, rate, and review so we can continue to bring you more exciting episodes.
We launch a new episode every Tuesday, and you don't want to miss it.
And follow us on social at The Beauty Vanguard, where we've got behind-the-scenes action and fun extras about us and our guests.
See you soon. And until then, wash your face before bed and don't forget your sunscreen.